recording for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Suzanne, your vessel. This morning, Father Lord, I pray that you use her powerfully. And in the name of Jesus, that you will give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. I pray she will speak your word untainted, O God. Let your power flow through her. This morning, in Jesus' name, amen. We're ready to receive.
Amen. Gosh, I've got about an hour compared to usual. That's good. I'd like to see my notes. Lovely to see you all. I just want to ask, I know we were doing some testimonies before, but after Franklin spoke last week, I just wondered if anyone has been asking God to reveal himself more. And have you, because that was his challenge, wasn't it? God is here and he's with us and we just need to ask him to reveal himself. So has anyone got a testimony from the week of being more aware of God or seeing him move or stepping out in faith and praying for somebody? Jason? Or just from where you are? Yeah?
I don't know if it's, can I glorify this with the word testimony? I'm not sure, but what resonated with me from last week was the truth that because of he who dwells in us, we are not ordinary. We are extraordinary, and therefore we cannot, an ordinary life is just not on the cards for us. It's just not acceptable. That gave me that extra little bit of courage, I think. And I've just seen God's faithfulness in the place where he's chosen for me to work, knowing very, very obviously, doesn't take a mastermind to work out that that's one of my fields, of my mission fields. There's a gentleman who I've been speaking to over many weeks, a former police officer, and just sensed these things don't happen by accident. And this Thursday evening, we had a fairly long chat as we were working together, and he's gone through a lot as in his work as a police officer, and his body is broken, and he's seen far too much of suffering and the worst side of humanity. And I just sensed as the evening was coming to an end that the Holy Spirit would not let me get away without stepping over the line. I don't know what you want to call it, and saying, you know, something, saying, you know that there is a God and he loves you. For me, that's often, not always, but often that's a big challenge, just to say something very simple and beautiful and true like that. And the Lord's blessed that in that this man, Andy, said that he'd been sometimes on the point of suicide, and I don't know the details, but he clearly has some experience of the intervention of the Lord in his life. And therefore he's very happy to, as he said, let's go. And I'd love to talk about it more. And so that's that's the next step. And I'm looking forward to that, to sharing with him. I just sense he's a person who has many questions, and I'm glad to be there. Praise God for that.
Wow, brilliant. Lovely. Anyone else been stepping out in faith this week?
Well, praise God for that testimony, Jason. I think God, obeying God is really important, and then He takes us from one step to the next, and that little word that seems so little to us, telling Andy that God loves him, could make all the difference in his life. So thank you for that.
I think it was as a result of listening to some teaching on YouTube, as I tend to do. It really revived for me once again, seeking God's face through just seeking his face. You know, we know when we come into God's presence because the atmosphere changes around us and in us as well. And I've been pressing into God because this is what I really think, that if we don't experience that and live in that, we live the ordinary Christian life. But God wants us to live the extraordinary, or really, it is the ordinary Christian life, the norm. I think it was Watchman Nee said the normal Christian life, and that's what it is actually. And so we need to, well, this is for me anyway, I can't say for anyone else, to just be pressing in constantly into the presence of God. There is a place of his presence where his life starts to flow, and he opens up ways and doors that are of his choosing. And so I've been really seeking God about that this week, praying much in tongues, by the way. I do think that is one way. I'm not saying it's the only way, but it's certainly an effective way of coming into the presence of God. And keep praying. Keep praying. The flesh would say, well, that's long enough, but keep going, because it then starts to open up the door to God. That's my experience. I can't say that it's the ultimate, but it just is the way I find the way to the heart of God. And we also experienced a victory this week of something that we had been praying and believing in faith for quite a long, long time. And the victory came this week. So I just want to give God honor and praise for that. Amen.
I've got okay. Anyone else have a short testimony about seeing God moving this week? That's really encouraging, though, being bold, telling people that God loves them, and just pressing into God, really, for his love. Pressing into God for his presence, sorry. So, okay, so I didn't sleep very well last night, so forgive me if I go off a bit, but also God sabotaged me last night. Last thing at night, I thought, oh, okay, so you want me to put that in the talk. So I had to rejig things a little bit. Anyway. It's good to get your testimonies, and we're just carrying on with the pressing into God's presence, and we were obviously wanting more, and there's keys, aren't there, like Rosemary said, spending time with God, and pressing in, praying tongues. Something God seems to be reminding me of at the moment is about this culture of honour. I don't know if anyone's read this book. I actually lost it until this morning, so I couldn't cheat. I haven't been able to use it to prepare the talk. But Danny Silk, have you heard of Danny Silk? He's from Bethel. He talks about this culture of honour as part of sustaining a supernatural environment. So I think the way sort of we are the body of Christ, and the way we treat each other, and as Fiona has given us two wonderful talks, is quite key in maintaining this atmosphere of God's presence and experiencing the supernatural. So that was the topic that I was going to touch on today. Just to read a couple of the verses that Fiona touched on, because they're so good. Romans 12, 9-21. So I listened to your talk again. I like to link in, you know. If someone else would like to read it, Romans 12, 9-21. Anyone got it?
Romans 12, 9-21.
Yeah.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you. Just reread the first bit. In what translation have you got, Ayan?
New KJV.
Okay, just in the NIV, the first bit again. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So honor one another above yourselves. And then 1 Corinthians 12:21-26. I'll read that one. So the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So this is all part of our Christian love for each other, isn't it? It's part of being the body together. It's very different to the world's way, isn't it? I'm thinking about the news. We hear things on the news, we hear bias, the soaps. I'm sure none of you watch the soaps. Emmerdale, my mum does, so I get to see some of it. It's full of lies, deceit, disloyalty. It's just so opposite, isn't it, of the way that God wants us to be with each other. And the consequence you see in the soaps is broken relationships, just awful things, darkness. I mean, if you want to see the opposite to what God wants us to be, then switch on one of the soaps. So God's ways are different. He wants us to honor each other, even we may think someone's got there's no less value to anybody, but maybe a less upfront value. It might be more of a practical role or whatever it is that God wants us to honor each other. Sometimes we may not have the same view, but we're still part of the body and he wants us to honor each other. It is an antidote, isn't it, to many negative things that we might, we covered a bit in the Beatitudes I'll just read a couple of things that really challenged me in the Beatitudes. Yes, one challenging thing is love, even love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends out rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even the tax collectors do that. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then later on, the challenges about us about not judging each other. These are just the most challenging parts for me. I'm just sharing with you, I'm just being honest. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I don't know about you, but I find some of these things, it's challenging, isn't it? Because we can all have times when we might say something that presses our buttons. People might have a different way of doing things. You know, we can have reactions, can't we, in ourselves? We can make judgments. We can jump to conclusions, maybe. So the antidote to all of this is to do with honouring each other, as Fiona encourages to do. Pray, thank God for each other, pray a blessing on each other. I was sort of thinking it's a bit like thankfulness, isn't it? It's not always easy to be thankful when things are not easy, but it does change the atmosphere, doesn't it, when we can be thankful. So the same thing with honouring and blessing each other. I think if we can, you know, that can actually change how we feel about people. It can change an atmosphere. So I think it's quite a powerful, even spiritual, dare I say, spiritual warfare, because we're changing the atmosphere. So I think that's why it's linked to the supernatural environment, because we're actually clearing out some rubbish. We're clearing out maybe things that get in the way in relationships. So I think God wants that unity. So these are just practical things we can do to actually bring the presence of God, I think, and also bless each other, build each other up. So just to read, this is the bit where God sort of spoke to me as I went to sleep last night, and I'm adding an extra bit, but he was talking about his love, because it's really hard for us to love each other, isn't it, and bless each other, until we know God's love, because we haven't really got it in ourselves, have we, to do that. God's love is very different to the world's love. So anyway, it's basically agape love, isn't it? It's unconditional love. It doesn't make sense, does it? God loves us unconditionally. So anyway, one of the explanations for agape love, which the way God's loved us, and then he calls us to love each other. Christian love, whether exercised towards the brethren or towards men generally, is not an impulse from the feelings. It doesn't always run with the natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself upon those for whom some affinity is discovered. Love seeks the welfare of all. Love works no ill to any. Love seeks opportunity to do good to all men, and especially towards them that are the household of faith. So God, it expresses the deep and constant love and interest of a perfect being towards entirely unworthy objects producing and fostering a reverential love in them towards the giver, that's God, and a practical love towards those who are partakers of the same, and a desire to help others. So this is the love that we have received from God, and because of that, we can love others who we don't deserve God's love, and we don't always deserve each other's love, but God calls us to love each other and honour each other. So anyway, last night I was going to sleep, I was just aware of God's unconditional love. It's quite powerful. I just thought, oh God, I forgot that bit in the talk. That we need to know that in order to love each other. So, okay, and also, the unconditional love is the way God loves Jesus, the way God loves us, and the way he calls us to love others, especially in the household of God. And so just read Ephesians 2, just on that subject, 1-10. This just shows the amazing love of God, which helps us to love others. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then just Psalm 103. Eight to twelve. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So it's all by grace. I just wanted you to take a minute just to reflect on God's unconditional love for you. So if you just want to close your eyes and just think about God's love, how much he loves you, not based on what you've done. Just read this again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. All of us lived amongst them. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I just pray just now you just help us be aware of your unconditional love, your mercy and grace upon our lives, and just that we can't do anything, Lord, to make you love us, and we You loved us when we were dead in the things we did wrong. We're just so grateful to you, Lord, for the way you love us. It's all of you, Lord, and it's not really much of us at all. So we're just grateful for your unconditional love. Nothing can come between us and your love. Just fill our hearts afresh with that revelation of your unconditional love, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. We can't do anything to change the way you feel about us. Thank you, Lord. Anyone wants to pray out, please feel free to thank God.
We thank you, Father, that it's bigger, greater, deeper than we know, but Lord, I pray that each day we would know your love in a greater way, that we would cease from our own works and just do what you want and just know your love, the energy of your love which carries us. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Okay, well, take that feeling home with you. Just to carry on just a little bit with how I started. So having received that love of God and that revelation of how he loves us, no matter what we've done, we may feel, there's people we come across, as I said, that it's not easy to love sometimes, but I think we can love them in the way that God loves us. And this is a unique thing about Christian love. We don't love people we like or we agree with, but there's something God helps us to do that is quite unique and special. So also, as we do that for each other, I think we're helping to build each other up and encourage each other. And even setting us free to be who we truly are, because it's quite nice, isn't it, when you feel encouraged and someone says, oh, you're really good at that, or I really appreciated when you did that. And so I think that's a culture to cultivate, you know. And if someone says, oh, you really did that well, you might be more likely to have another go. Or even if you didn't do that well, but someone says, well done for trying. You know, that's an encouragement to try again. I know we don't always need people's positive words, but I think there's some power in it. So if we want to see each of us grow and fly in our destiny, I think we can do this for each other. Obviously, we hear from God, but it'd be great, and we do already. We could, you know, look to ways to encourage each other, honour each other, even boast about each other. What about that? So, yeah, be pleased with each other and tell others that we're pleased. Because we are all part of one body, aren't we? So when one part is honoured, we honoured. When we said one part suffers, we suffer as well. So we share in that glory. I just remember a story when I was preparing this. I was in a conference, prophetic conference, and there were some really good prophetic words being shared by lots of people. And I don't know if you've ever had that feeling, like, I really want a prophetic word. And I didn't get one. But there was such a loving atmosphere at that conference. think it was actually a week long. And I remember somebody had got this amazing word, and I just felt so pleased for them. I thought, wow, that's different. I think it was the atmosphere of love that was there. It's like, I don't care if I don't get one. It's that kind of thing, is it preferring each other? I'm so pleased that you got that. I'm so pleased that you had that. We can feel left out, can't we, sometimes? Like, where's mine? Where's my prophetic word? Anyway, that's just an example of, you know, being pleased for each other, being pleased when others are honoured, and being able to honour each other. Let's see if there's anything else. So what honour actually means is great respect. Regard each other with great respect. Even pay public respect to each other. So let's build that muscle. Let's be pleased about each other and even tell others about it, and honour each other to each other and to other people. So just the last thing, the little activation. I just want you to just take a moment and just ask God to show you, is there anyone that you feel God wants you to honour in a way you haven't before? So maybe someone you've had a judgment about, or a, I don't know, it could be anything. So let's just take a couple of minutes and let ask God to reveal anyone that he just might want you to forgive or release, sort of change your way of thinking, and that he wants you to actually honour them and bless them. Lord, just show us, Lord, if there is anyone, could be anywhere, family, work, church, just someone that you just want us to really bless and honour and change, maybe change the way we think about that person. So, Lord, help us to release those thoughts and judgments, and forgive us for that, Lord. We thought other than honouring that person. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to honour and encourage that person and other people too, Lord. We just ask you to show us ways to honour and bless that person and other people, and exercise that muscle. Honouring and blessing each other, building each other up in love, even boasting about each other. Lord, help us. The way you boast about us, would you help us to do that about each other? Change any atmosphere that needs to be changed. Change our hearts where they need to be changed. Bless our unity, bless our relationship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Suzanne, for that wonderful word. Beautiful word. Relationships are really, I think, like you said, one of the foundation stones of our walk with the Lord, and it's so vital. There's so many scriptures that relate to our relationships with one another. So thank you very much.